Rereading She's Not There in preparation for this 10th anniversary edition put me in mind of an old Amish expression. Wir are too soon old und too late smart. I know there are plenty of people who, looking back at their younger selves, have had occasion to think, man, what you don't know could fill a book. I'm unique, however, in that the book filled with the things I don't know is an actual book. She's Not There was the first in a trilogy I wrote about gender. The second, I'm Looking Through You, 2008, concerned my parents' allegedly haunted house and the ways in which the living, too, can wind up haunted, especially by the phantoms of their younger selves. The last in the series, Stuck in the Middle with You, is being published by Random House concurrently with this updated version of She's Not There. It focuses on the challenges faced by my family. It also addresses the differences between being a mother and a father and considers the time when I was betwixt and between the binary poles of gender, the parental version of the schnoodle or the cockapoo. My boys, 6 and 4 when this book was begun, are now a college freshman and a high school junior, respectively. It's my hope that having a father who became a woman has, in turn, helped my sons become better men. Looking back on my life from the vantage point of my 50s, I'm aware that the woman I have become in middle age is perhaps less the result of hormones than of a lifetime spent telling stories. It was the writing of these books that, more than anything else, helped me understand the narrative of my own life and those of other women like me. When I was a teenager, I searched the library in vain for the story of a person I might resemble. To whom could I turn? Tiresias? Jan Morris? The amazing Kreskin? Without much in the way of dependable narrative or contemporary myth, there were ways in which I felt, back then, as if I did not exist. Talk about phantoms! Surely, if there were no books about lives like my own, I was fated to live a life in which I could only be invisible. There are lots of good books about people like me now. There are memoirs and textbooks by Jameson Green, Leslie Feinberg, Helen Boyd, Donna Rose, Susan Stryker, Julia Serrano, Chaz Bono, Deborah Rudisill, and many, many others. All of these stories have helped change trans issues from something extraordinary to something more commonplace, from a single, simple narrative to a series of messier ones, moving us toward a time when, as Robert Hunter once wrote, things we've never seen will seem familiar. I've left the original text of this memoir virtually unaltered. The one exception is that I've changed the word transgendered, which freely inhabited the original, to transgender, or trans. These have become, in the intervening years, the preferred terms, and I'm fine with that. Other than that, the original draft stands unchanged, unlike some people I could mention. This updated edition contains 2 new sections, a new chapter from me, bringing some of the story up to date, and a short afterword from my spouse, Deirdre, who is called Grace in this book. Given how public our lives became after the publication of She's Not There, it was tempting to change all the pseudonyms and replace them with everyone's actual names. But at this hour, it struck me that this would only be confusing and might lead some readers to mistakenly conclude that in the last 10 years, everyone I know, following my curious lead, has changed his or her identity. My own identity, after all these years, has wound up less altered than I had expected. It should not have been a surprise, perhaps, but in some ways, the most shocking revelation after 10 years in the female sex is that mostly I am the same person I always was, gender notwithstanding. As my wife, Dee Dee, notes in her afterword to this updated edition, the strength of our love for each other never fundamentally changed. As Jenny used to say, it's the same monkeys, different barrel. It has been a long journey made possible by my loving spouse, my remarkable sons, and the creation of these tales. It is only because of these gifts that I have left a phantom's life behind and have at last become something solid. I'm also put in mind of the story of James Thurber at a party in Paris, in which a woman informed him how much funnier his stories were in French. Yes, lamented Thurber, they tend to lose something in the original. Jennifer Finney Boylan, Belgrade Lakes, Maine, 2013.